This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are broadcasting live from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. But you are going to need it because it is absolutely freezing outside. So highly recommend if you can stay home, please do. I know that my street right outside of my house is an absolute ice rink. So stay safe out there and stay warm as well. So it is coaching search extravaganza across the NFL. The Titans are conducting their head coaching search. The Falcons, the Chargers, the Panthers, the Seahawks. I don't remember when the last time there was this many head coaching vacancies, but since there are so many, Mike Sando of The Athletic put out a ranking of the best to worst head coaching openings across the NFL. The Titans came in second to last. Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports also did his own survey of coaches and GMs across the league to rank the best to worst coaching vacancies in the NFL. The Titans again came in second to last. And one reason that both Mike Sando and Charles Robinson cited, and the reason that the Titans were so low on the rankings, was just not quite so sure about Will Levis. And Mike Sando goes as far as to even write that the Titans need a franchise quarterback. Now, I don't know if Will Levis is going to be that franchise quarterback, but I think I've at least seen a little bit of something to believe that Will Levis could be something, could turn into that franchise quarterback. So we chatted with Tim Hasselbeck yesterday, and I asked him, look, where is the apprehension about Will Levis? This was what Tim Hasselbeck had to say on our show yesterday.
Well, I think the big thing would be this. He missed some time this year. So there's already, I guess the evidence of, well, can he be healthy for an entire season? Like, one of the best things about, quarterbacks and their availability. I know I've said this before, like my brother as the example. Look, he played 18, 20 years in the National Football League, in large part because he never ended a season on the injured reserve. Like that matters. So like Eli Manning, you look at his career, he was always available and healthy. And so, and then you compare that to other guys that maybe have talent and they've shown, kind of moments where, hey, they could be really good. Jimmy Garoppolo, for example. But he just has too many times where he's not available. So, like, there's already evidence of that. And then there's not a big enough sample size of really good quarterback play to say, yeah, you're 100% sure that this can be your guy. And so I think that's really what it is. It's still the unknown. I would push back on anybody that says, like, hey, they know for sure. Because you really don't know for sure until, you see a guy do it for multiple seasons.
I thought I knew for sure about Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. Learned my lesson.
Yeah. Right? No, that's a great example. Because his first start against Kansas City, whatever that was, a couple years ago, was not good at all. And then didn't really play. And then the beginning of the year was not great. And he looked so comfortable and confident and honestly good right now that you could almost argue he just looks like a totally different player.
And look, I don't know for sure about Will Levis. Like, do we even really know for sure about CJ Stroud? I mean, he's had an outstanding rookie season, but will he take a step back if Bobby Slowik is not his offensive coordinator next year? I don't know. I mean, He's only had 1 year of a sample size, so you can't really know for sure. But with all of these questions, maybe from GMs and coaches and from outside of Nashville about Will Levis, how many questions do we have about Will Levis? How concerned are we about Will Levis's availability?
Well, one thing that jumped out at me that Tim said that I think is a point that we're going to have to watch. We all had our observation of the offensive line, and we know that was a major, major problem. Over 60 sacks allowed. It was brutal. But he was injured twice, right? And so Tim's point about being able to finish the season healthy, being able to stay healthy year in and year out is a big skill for a quarterback. And Will Levis is built strong. He's built tough. We know he's willing to stick his nose in there and get the extra yard. Sometimes he's got to be careful with that.
Yeah, maybe to a fault.
Well, I think that's long-term going to be the question. Was he injured twice this year in a limited duty because the offensive line was so bad? Or is he going to be a little injury prone and you got to watch that year in and year out? Because that's something that will go into your evaluation of Will Levis.
I think D-Mace is muted.
You're absolutely right. I was mute. Exactly.
That's number two this week, Derek.
Yeah, I got to get it together.
Three, he had a lot of off.
They're going to boot me off the island. I think he had a lot of things working against him, meaning Will Levis. Now, obviously, there are some things that I believe from a quarterback standpoint, things that he can control, that he needs to get better at. There are things. But I think a lot of it, or bulk of it, is because of what he has in front of him. And again, I'm going to continue to reiterate that. When you take the snap from the center in less than 2 seconds, 2 seconds or less, someone's being pushed in front of you, or you're getting some type of pressure somewhere, that throws you off as a quarterback. There's not many quarterbacks I know that can thrive under consistent pressure. Now, you have those that on occasion, their numbers may be a little bit higher than others when it comes to pressures, but those are typically veteran quarterbacks. Guys that have seen multiple defenses, guys that have played against coordinators, you know, more than once or twice or three times. When you're dealing with a rookie and you're getting this pressure, these are things that he's now familiarizing himself with, and it's going to take a minute. So he can't operate to his full potential when he's getting, you know, pressure every other play. I don't think anybody can thrive under that type of system. Look at the Titans offense. I'm sure they would have been able to average more than 17 points had the offensive line been just okay. You know, if they were just okay, I'm sure this team would have averaged more than 17 points. But because this offensive line was below okay, then you saw sort of, you know, the things that can happen because of what the offensive line wasn't able to do. And we saw it in a run game at times, and most definitely we saw it in a pass game, but it all pointed toward the quarterback and his inability, because of the pressure, to get the ball where he needed to get. Again, he developed bad habits that he needs to get out of because of the offensive line. So I take this year that he had, these six games that he played, I believe it was around 6 or 7 games that he played, I take that and I just put it on the shelf. There's some things that I like, and there's some things that I know he can get better. But in the middle, there was a whole bunch of stuff he had no control over. I want to see, once they beef up this offensive line, what does he become then? It's really hard to say he's not the guy when you know, the people in front of him aren't doing their jobs.
And I agree with you. That we have watched every single Titans game this season. We've watched every single snap that Will Levis has taken. And I look at that and I say, I have to grade that on a curve. Because you got one of the worst offensive lines, if not the worst offensive line, probably the worst offensive line in the National Football League. It was a revolving door of pass catchers. You really only had DeAndre Hopkins and, you know, in pitching the ball off to Derrick Henry as your two options. Like, the Titans didn't give Will Levis the right environment to succeed. So I'm totally with you on that. But give him some protection, give him some time, give him some pass catchers and see what he can do, because we've seen flashes of what he can be. But at least from the national perspective, that's not the feeling, because I could probably say the same thing about Bryce Young. Look, we got questions about what Bryce Young can be in Carolina, but it seems like the national media at least is giving Bryce Young the benefit of the doubt that Will Levis isn't getting. A look at what Mike Sando wrote. He said, the next coach in Carolina must manage an impulsive owner, which I think is true, while also creating a successful offense around an outlier quarterback whose confidence could need rebuilding after a brutal rookie season. I could maybe say the same thing about Will Levis, that they need to bring the right coach in to help build around a young rookie quarterback, well, not rookie anymore, whose confidence could need some rebuilding after playing behind that offensive line. But that's at least not the same vibe that's being put forth to Will Levis from Mike Sando.
I agree. I put the word brutal at all behind Will Levis. I thought he battled even in the games that he had no chance. Like they had two or three games that he started. They went 3-6 in his 9 starts. He started 9 games. And of course, one of them, he was out early in the game. That was the game at Houston. So you can almost write that one off. That was in the second quarter when he went down and didn't play again after that. So in that sample size, you also had 2 games that they lost in overtime that they had a chance to win. So they're right in the games. He had a couple of outstanding starts. So the word brutal really doesn't ever come in my vernacular when I'm trying to use words to describe Levis. Up and down, some big mistakes here and there, yeah, but some big moments as well. Mm-hmm. I don't think Bryce Young had anywhere close to the same level of success. He did have a brutal year from start to finish. Really, I think they've got a lot of picking up the pieces there. I still think the outlook for Levis is wait and see, but I see enough there for sure that if you can put good pieces around him, I'd like to see where it goes.
But I think with Will Levis, here's the problem. Because, you know, when you start, and we're not comparing Will Levis and Bryce Young, but it seems like on one hand, the narrative is, you know, this young quarterback, if you just surround him with some guys, repair sort of his ego and repair his confidence, he will be fine. Exactly. He'll be okay. Don't worry about it. But then on the other side, you have another guy that's a rookie too. And it's, we're not sure about this guy. You know, he may not be, you know, the Titans quarterback moving forward. Maybe the Titans should look to potentially bring in another quarterback. And I just think that's completely and utterly unfair. I don't think it's the truth. Now, I think it's like that because you got to look at the narrative of both of these guys coming out of college. The narrative for Bryce Young was he was small, but he was a hell of a quarterback, accurate, you know, a guy, a playmaker, this and that. But then you looked at Will Levis, it was, he's not as accurate. He's injury prone. These are the stigmas that was attached to Will Levis. And now you fast forward another year, it's sort of the same stigma on Will Levis and the same stigma, but in a good way for Bryce Young. Hey, surround this young guy with some players, build that offensive lineup, build his confidence back up, he'd be great. And on the other side, it's, well, we don't know about this guy. I mean, he could be maybe, but the Titans may think about going out and get another quarterback. I think that's completely unfair because both of these guys were playing in systems or playing in front of offensive lines that were horrible. And both of the guys did exactly as much as they could possibly do. And I'm sure the offensive coordinators did just as much as they possibly could do considering what they had in front of them.
I think that stigma that you mentioned about Will Levis, it continues because it's kind of been confirmed. You know, if the concern about Will Levis coming into the draft was he's injured, he's inaccurate. Well, he got injured twice this season.
But that's not those. The injury wasn't his fault. The injury wasn't his fault.
It was a horrendous offensive
exactly.
line.
And inaccuracies. But still. But in inaccuracies, I think some of it was. Now, listen, he was 58% throwing the football, completing the football. That he needs to get that up. But I'm going to believe, and I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say, if that offensive line was average to good, his completion percentage would be in the 60s. I'm not saying it'd be 69, close to 70, but it would be somewhere right around Bryce Young, because I think Bryce Young might have ended up at like in the mid 60s somewhere. I think if that offensive line was better, I'm not even talking about the pass catcher, because I think outside of Treylon Burks, I think the pass catchers did a good job this season considering the offensive line. And Burks need to step his game up and step it up tremendously. But I think if you fix that offensive line, he had an offensive line that was a little bit better, his completion percentage and that accuracy would be a little bit better.
I would totally agree, because you look at CJ Stroud and how much they've invested.
Also beyond the
go ahead, Willie.
Percentage, which needs to come up for sure. Yards per attempt was pretty good. He's in the middle of the pack in that. So I think his strength is getting the ball down the field. He can stretch a defense. He can make you cover the whole field, the width of the field. He can get to the ball, you know, outside the numbers, as they say, with a lot of velocity. I think that is a strength that not every quarterback can say. So if his completion percentage is not, you know, 70% kind of thing, you know, if he can get into the low to mid 60s, that and keep that yards per attempt, you know, that certainly the weapons would have something to do with it. I think that's what you can work with.
And there was one point that TD and Jared were throwing around yesterday on the TD Power Hour on Stillman & Company. And it's kind of the idea of coaches and their belief in Will Levis. Because, look, they polled GMs and coaches, Yahoo Sports, Charles Robinson and Dory Epstein did. And a lot of the sentiment was, we're kind of out on Will Levis. The Titans have now requested to interview 11 candidates. 11. That's a lot. Surely there's at least one coach in there that doesn't think that Will Levis is, you know, the greatest gift since sliced bread and is going to be, you know, the next Tom Brady of the future. So if there is a coach out there, and we talked about this, there's a coach that doesn't believe in Will Levis, he's not going to sit in front of Amy Adams, Strunk, and Rand Carthon and say, yeah, your young quarterback stinks. I don't believe in him at all. But to what extent are you completely transparent? Like, if I'm sitting down to interview for the Titans head coaching position and I have questions about Will Levis, to what extent do I say, look, I'm going to do everything that I can to work with this young quarterback because he's got the arm strength. He's got the toughness. We feel like he's a good leader. Like, we feel like he has some of those intangible things. But I'm going to be honest with you. There are some things that I am concerned about, whether it's the accuracy or whether it's the injury. So I'm going to do everything in my power to get everything out of him. But I can't guarantee you that I can turn him into a franchise quarterback. Like, can you say that if you're a prospective head coach? And if you don't say that, if you do say, yes, I fully believe that I can turn Will Levis into a franchise quarterback, even if you don't wholeheartedly believe that, like, if you don't say that, are you not going to get the job? I think it's kind of a tough double-edged sword.
Well, you got to be able to come in here and develop the quarterback. And that's been my big thing for the last couple of years. And I think Charles London did a good job at, you know, taking his rookie and also Malik Willis and, you know, making them better than, or at least Malik, making him better than what he was the previous season. Now, it didn't get too much better, but it did. You can see the progression. And I want to correct myself. Bryce Young, see, and this is again, like, why is it on one hand the narrative is different, but on the other hand, it's not. He completed 59.8% of his passes with 11 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. Will Levis completed 58% of his passes. What's the difference there? I don't see why you can say, on one hand, if you just give this young guy an offensive line, build his confidence back up, then he will be okay. Okay, but then on the other hand, because their numbers look basically identical, and Will Levis played less games. But on the other hand, you say, well, the Titans may want to go look for another quarterback. I'm not completely sold on this guy. The reason is, one's a first-round pick, the number one pick in the draft, and the other was a second-round pick.
That's it.
Yeah, it's perception. I would argue that Will Levis's numbers are considerably better than Bryce Young. Bryce Young was dead last in yards per attempt, 5.5 yards per attempt, a distant 32nd. Mm-hmm. Whereas Levis is tied for 15th at 7.1. 11 touchdowns to 10 interceptions for Young, 8-4, a 2-1 ratio for Levis. I mean, I can keep going, but it's, you know, Levis had easily way, you know, significantly better stats, I think, in every category.
And I think another thing to consider, too, is Bryce Young started all 17 games, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And Will Levis played about half of that. So the stats are going to be a little bit skewed. You play more games. You probably the yards per completion probably aren't going to look as favorable, especially when you look at how many deep balls Will Levis was able to complete. But still, overall, I think it is all the perception. It was this guy was the first overall pick. It pretty much unanimous first overall pick for at least a good bit of the pre-draft season. And this guy was a second round pick. I think that has a lot to do with the perception. Although I do fear, is there something that coaches and GMs are seeing that I'm not? Like, are they seeing something in Bryce Young that a coach could step back and say, I can work with that. I need a line. I need some better pass catchers that aren't named Adam Thielen. And I can work with that. And are they looking at Will Levis maybe in a very similar situation with a bad O-line and saying, I don't know. You know, we can get as much as we can around him, but he's got a ceiling. That is what I fear, that they see something in the potential that they see in Bryce Young that they don't in Will Levis. All right, let's get into your questions for D. Mays coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Take your calls, take your texts. Any questions for D. Mays are on the table. Ask D. Mays coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
G-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Garrett Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
And there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D. Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D. Mace.
On
102.5
and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Ask D. Mace. Get those questions in for Derek Mason. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a question for D. Mace, we'll take your calls, we'll take your texts. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. James is up next. What's up, James?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
I appreciate it. D. Mace, I got something I want to ask you.
All right, let's go.
I've been watching NFL football since about 1965. Whew. And since the Houston Oilers, who were my team back in the day, came over to the Titans, I've been with them. I think this young man we got right now for a quarterback could possibly be the best one we've ever had. I think he needs an O-line, a tight end, and another wide out. I think this young man's going to do damn good. Do you agree? Mm.
Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. And thank you for, you know, always supporting this team all the way back tonight to the mid-60s. Till now that they are the Tennessee Titans. But, and this is what we've been talking about, ladies and gentlemen, you know, surrounding Will Levis with talent. If you beef up that offensive line, listen, I don't know if he's going to be, you know, the greatest quarterback in Titan history. If indeed that does happen, then hopefully a Super Bowl can come along with it. But in order to even, you know, sort of take that step to him, you know, ultimately or you know, becoming or wanting to become that great quarterback in the franchise, wanting him to become that great quarterback, you have to surround him with pieces. And the most important piece, you have to surround him with, beside a head coach, an offensive coordinator, and a quarterback's coach, is the offensive line. You have to get this offensive line straight. Again, I like his pass catchers. I really do. Do I think they need to add another guy with some speed, a young guy? Absolutely. But I like DeAndre Hopkins. Everybody, you know, everybody loves DeAndre Hopkins and what he's able to do. But to me, if he's your number one, then your offense is going to be slow. They need someone that can be a legitimate, bona fide number one guy, and D-Hop feeds off of that and do what he's been doing his whole career, and that's just catch footballs. But I like Chris Moore. I like Nick Westbrook-Akina, and obviously, y'all know how I feel about Treylon Burks, but he needs to step his game up tremendously. And now in regards to the tight end, I think Chig showed the last five, six games that he can be a playmaker for this team. But don't just do it for five or six games. We need you to do it for a full season. And that is what Chig has been unable to do his short career thus far. So adding a veteran tight end, I think, would help out not only Will Levis, but would help out Chig Okonkwo as well. So the caller was right, you know, in regards to what needed to be added around him. But in order for him to even sort of breach that sort of talk of being the greatest quarterback the Tennessee Titans or the Houston Oilers have ever had, they need to start putting weapons around him, and they need to beef up that offensive line.
It's crazy what happens when you give the quarterback time to throw the football, give him some protection. I mean, I think you can look at any quarterback in the NFL and NFL history. Struggles one year, maybe has a comeback the next. Probably due to some investment around him. That's mm-hmm. priority number one, I think, for the Titans offseason. Other than bringing in the right head coach, is bringing in the right pieces to help Will Levis realize his potential. Another texter texts in, says, who is the hardest hitter that you've ever played against?
Oh, man. Benny Thompson, because he knocked me flat out. That's why. My rookie year, I sustained a concussion, not a mild concussion. It was a flat out concussion on a punt return. But beside Benny Thompson, I didn't get hit. I was fortunate enough that, you know, I didn't get hit as hard as some other guys because I was able to get down very quickly and I didn't take those big pounding hits. James, I forget, why am I forgetting the linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers? James Harrison. I mean, I didn't want to be anywhere around that guy when I was catching the football. He caught me clean one time, and I paid for it. And I regretted coming across his path. So when you start getting in there with those linebackers, boy, you better have your head on a swivel.
Another texter texts in and says, with Saban retiring, you played for him. Take us back to the first time that you met him as a head coach.
When he walked into, that building and had a team meeting with everybody, and he sat down and he laid the ground rules for what he wanted, and what he wasn't going to tolerate, how he wanted to build this, that program at Michigan State back up. And, you know, he was able to do that, not to a level where we were winning, you know, championships, but where we were to where we end up being after he left. I think he helped set that foundation for Coach D to come in and take it and run with it after a while. So, that was one of the things that I just remembered about Coach Saban, him coming in and him being a no-nonsense guy.
Another texter texts in and asks, who would be your pick for the Titans' next head coach?
Who would be my pick for the Titans' next head coach? Oh, man. I know we said, whether they hire an offensive guy or a defensive guy, I think ultimately that guy has to be a leader of men. But I would love to see, because I know how this league is, that if you have an offensive if you hire a coach and then he's sort of that leader of men, but he may be a defensive guy, who you hire as offensive coordinator, if he does well, then more than likely he will be gone. I mean, we only had LaFleur for a year because, you know, people wanted his services after that. And it wasn't like he had this offense running at a clip of 30 points a game. He didn't, but he was a bright offensive mind. So others wanted him as his head coach, and Green Bay got him. So because of the way this league is, I think you had to have a head coach with sort of a, you don't have to, but I think in this situation, because of where the Titans at, You need someone that can be a leader, but also have an offensive mind. Mm-hmm. Because you know, if this team gets going and they start winning games and scoring points, you're going to be looking for an offensive coordinator the next following year.
That's the tough thing. And I think that's what mm-hmm. a lot of Titans fans are probably pushing for an offensive head coach is, mm-hmm. you know, look at the Eagles, for example. They lose Shane Steichen and it looks like a different offense. Mm-hmm. You know, Jalen Hurts doesn't look like the Jalen Hurts that we saw last year. So was that really kind of Shane Steichen's brainchild, that Philadelphia Eagles team last year? And when you lose, when you bring in an offensive coordinator like that, he's kind of the overseer of the entire offense, and you lose that offensive coordinator, then you're forced to kind of to rebuild in a sense, not entirely rebuild, but, you know, kind of reset your perspective. Another texter texts in and says, D-Mace, if you were a GM, what questions would you ask a prospective head coach in a coaching interview?
Oh, man. I would ask him first and foremost about our quarterback and what does he see? What's his vision for this quarterback and for this team? I think those are the questions you need to ask. Obviously, there's going to be other questions in regards to how do you manage your team and whatnot and all that other stuff, your coaching staff, you know, who could possibly, you know, be some of the coaches that you're looking at from an offensive and a defensive standpoint. But I think first it's like, you know, you have to establish what do you think of our young quarterback and how do you plan on, you know, taking him and allowing him to grow within your offense. How are you going to work him into what you're doing as a head coach or play caller? And do you see or do you envision him being that guy? I think you got to get an honest answer from your potential head coach in regards to your quarterback, because if you don't get an honest answer and he comes in there and that's not his guy, then, you know, it's you're going to be butt heads. The coach is going to be butt heads with the quarterback, and you don't want that. You want to be able to come in and what is your plan, not just for our team, but for our quarterback. Because we understand, listen, if you don't have a quarterback in this league, you ain't going to survive very long. So yeah. I need to know what your plan is. What's the plan, Willie?
Willie, what's the plan?
Always a great question. Always a great question. I have a good question, D. Mace. I was thinking about this the other day in L.A. because, as I was telling you guys yesterday, the Lakers were playing. They beat the Mavericks. Everybody was feeling good in Lakerland. And then I came back to my hotel, and Bronny James was playing in one of those late-night games, Pac-12 games, in the last year of the Pac-12 as we know it, right? It's going to be gone. Goodbye. But I was watching Bronny James for the first time, and I was not overwhelmed. You know, he's a good player. He had a decent game. They didn't win. Their team is struggling some. It was a tough place to play in Arizona. But the dream, and LeBron has said it, LeBron wants to play at least one game in the NBA with his son Bronny. What do you think about that? Do you think that's the right thing for him to put out there? And do you think he will fulfill this dream? Like, I can see that being a little awkward if Bronny is not like a legit surefire NBA guy, which I'm not sure he is right now.
And you know, that would be great to see him play with his son. It really, really would be. It would be a testament to his longevity, the way he take care of his body, how he approaches the game each and every year in regards to LeBron. You know, maybe that puts a little bit more pressure on Bronny and everybody around him, meaning the coaches there at USC, to sort of make him a featured player. You know, but, you know, the way it seems, Bronny is a good player, but is he good enough to forego 3 years of college eligibility just to play with his dad? I'm sure they've had these long talks and these grueling talks about, hey, listen, yes, I want to play with you, but don't come out early just because I want to play with you, because you're going to find yourself in a situation where, you know, you may go undrafted, or if you don't go undrafted, you get drafted and you still end up in the D League and you still don't get an opportunity to play with your dad. So to me, it's enjoy college. If it happens, That's great. If it doesn't, at least when you come out, you're ready. Come out when you're ready. Don't come out because dad may have one more year left to play and I want to play with dad or dad wants to play with me. No, come out when you're ready, because if you come out any earlier, who's to say you would even get a chance, one, to get drafted? But if you get drafted, who's going to, if you haven't developed as a player, who's going to put you on their team as a contributor? It's not like you're 6'11", you know, Bronny's 6'3", 6'4", he's a guard. If he's not ready, he's not going to be able to crack the lineup.
Yeah, you know, I think this is me getting crazy here, but Superman the movie, I don't know if you remember that one, the original one, Christopher Reeves, but the legend Superman, right, his dad, who sends him off from the planet that's exploding, right, Krypton, he says, you're going to have these great powers, but I don't want you to abuse your power, right? Just because you can. And that is a big thing at the end of the first Superman movie. And it's a great dilemma, right, that he's in. But like, if LeBron has to orchestrate this and move things around and say, okay, I'll go to this team if you'll take my son, who's a borderline player. I think that's almost like he's got the power to do it. He can do it. But I don't know if that's a great look.
If you have to interfere that much into something, it's probably just not meant to be.
Yeah, you're right. And that's what I go back to. Listen, I'm sure they've had a bunch of conversations about that. And I'm sure whatever Bronny decides to do, it would be best for him, not necessarily best for his dad. His dad is arguably the greatest player that has ever played this game. I'm a Kobe Bryant fan, so he doesn't trump Kobe Bryant. But you know, you don't want him to make a decision to forego 3 years or even 2 years of eligibility in college just because you want to play with your dad. If you're not ready, you're not ready. And I think, you know, unless you get a team that's desperate, Willie, and that needs sort of the hoopla around both of them to generate ticket sales, unless you're a team like that, I don't think a team will go out of their way to draft a Bronny James if he's not ready to play, if he's not ready to be on that level. Because what's going to happen is, yeah, they'll take him, but he's going to end up in the D League for a year or two until he develops.
Right back into your questions for D Mays coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Take your calls, take your texts. Caroline, Willie, D Mays. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan on Sunday for Vanderbilt women's basketball. The Commodores will be on the road and face off against Tennessee. Man, that is going to be a great game, Vanderbilt-Tennessee women's basketball. Pre-game begins at 1:45 p.m. and tip-off is at 2 o'clock. Coverage is also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. D-Mays, getting to your questions for D-Mays, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. One texter texts in, D-Mays, says the problem with the Titans is that they are not good but play some decent games, and we hold on to those decent games far too often. An example would be how D-Mays just referenced Chig, and hopefully he turns because he had a good five games to end the year when they were already out of the playoff race, but in reality, he's not a starting caliber tight end. What do you think about that?
I understand why the texter would say that, and I mean, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, fight back vehemently on that. I just know that he showed promise last season. He showed some promise a little bit early on in the season, but he ended up having these drops. But then he sort of picked up his game the last five or six games of the season. There's some promise there. But I also said they need to bring in a veteran tight end that can help him out, because it seems like all of the weight is on his shoulder. And at this point in time, I don't think he's capable of handling that much pressure. He has Wiley behind him, who I think is a good player. But Wiley's going into his second year. So you got two young guys in that tight end room. They need a veteran guy in that room that's not there just to be a veteran presence or their leadership. They need somebody that can actually come in and play.
All right, appreciate everyone for getting their questions in for D-Mace. Coming up next, we heard yesterday that Mike Vrabel was interviewing for the Chargers job. He was in L.A. What's the next step for Mike Vrabel? And how closely are Titans fans going to be following what comes next for Mike Vrabel? We'll get into that. Plus, what's the latest on the Titans coaching search coming up next? Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tomorrow for MTSU men's basketball. The Blue Raiders are on the road facing New Mexico State with pregame beginning at 7:30 p.m. and tip-off at 8 p.m. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3classichits.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.